Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by Luke Barnett, who is the writer and one of the stars of the new film Faith-Based, a comedy. And we wanted to talk because he's from Clinton in PG County. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you live in LA now, obviously, but I assume, did you ever listen to WTOP growing up?
I listened to WTOP a lot growing up. My parents listened to WTOP, so this is a blast to be on here.
Awesome. And so, how did you get from, tell me about your journey from PG County all the way to sunny Los Angeles into a filmmaking career? You know, how did you, I guess, take me to the very beginning growing up? Were you obsessed with movies growing up?
Yeah, man. I grew up in Clinton, like you said, and I went to Grace Brethren Christian School, and my family was always very, my family loved movies, and so I grew up watching movies. We would rent a movie from Blockbuster every Wednesday and order Little Caesars back when Little Caesars had the, for the older audience like myself, that had the two pizzas that came in a bag situation.
And the crazy bread, man.
The crazy bread, you know. And I think, the first time I can remember watching something and laughing until I cried was either Dumb and Dumber or Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And I'm 37, so I think I saw both of those movies kind of mid-90s. And at that point, I had a moment of, this is a feeling you can create this. Somebody made those movies. Somebody created this feeling that I'm having. And then as you kind of watch movies like Jurassic Park and experience someone kind of creating a world that we can no longer visit and... it just keeps going. I love movies. And then in high school, I was really fortunate that going to a really small school, I had the opportunity to kind of be in a lot of the plays and anything like that. I think if you go to a really big school, you're kind of fortunate if you get cast in one play. And then, even then, you're probably not able to play sports or something like that. And I was really lucky that our school was small enough that I could, you know, play sports every year and then also be in at least one play every year, if not two or three. And so high school was definitely the moment, you know, doing plays in high school. I think by senior year, I kind of knew I wanted to do something in the entertainment industry and I was going to move to Los Angeles. And then when I was a senior in high school, my mom actually got diagnosed with cancer and passed the year later. And as, as tragic as that was as a 17-year-old, I think in a weird way, it kind of made me grow up quicker than a lot of kids, you know, have to. And I think I kind of combined that with this kind of already mentality of I'm going to move to Los Angeles and pursue this. And that was it, man.
Well, I mean, God, she'd be proud of your journey, man. Now that
you it's fun to be able to do a show like this that does kind of, you know, bring back memories of home and stuff like that. So this is awesome. And then I got to Los Angeles and I started kind of doing sketch comedy out here. I took a lot of classes and was doing a lot of kind of short form content. And then I basically worked my way into doing stuff with a website called Funny or Die, which is Will Ferrell's kind of comedy website, which now has become a little bit different. But back in like 2013, 14, 15, it was like a really hot spot for kind of SNL style, like short form sketch comedy. And right. I did a
was
ton
that,
of stuff.
Sorry, was that before E-Bombs World or was that right after?
That was kind of, I would say either the same time or a little after.
Remember that era? Like, that's when these sites really took off.
I would say E-Bombs World, if I'm remembering correctly, would be like 05 to 2010 kind of world.
Right.
If I'm remembering correct. Funny or Die, to me, their heyday was kind of 2011 to 2016-ish. And I was kind of lucky that was the time period that I was doing a lot of stuff with them. So we did a lot of topical comedy with them. We did a series for them. And eventually my partner, Vincent Michelli, who I'd kind of met on one of those Funny or Die videos, we decided we wanted to do our first feature film. And so we had made a kind of a horror comedy called Fear Inc. that we got really lucky and it premiered at a big festival called Tribeca and did really well for us. And, And that was kind of the big, like that did a lot of things for us. And I don't know, that was 2016. So, basically now we're here promoting this movie Faith-Based that I'm super excited about.
Awesome. So there was no, you know, film school or anything like that. It was, you just moved out there and got hooked in with, you know, the sketch comedy shows, Funny or Die, and worked your way up like that.
Yeah. I think eventually I was pursuing just kind of acting and auditioning for really bad student films and really bad independent films and, not having a lot of success. And, I think I, the Funny or Die thing kind of gave me the realization that you can create your own content nowadays. And I think at that point it was like, oh, me creating a 3-minute sketch that ends up somehow in the Hollywood Reporter and the LA Times and stuff is better for my career than me auditioning for just random, really bad stuff and hoping that something sticks. And so I kind of, at that point, said, I'm going to kind of do my best to take control and create my own content.
Right, because you can, yeah, you have a little more control in that regard. You can tell your own story.
Yeah, we have a world now where you can do that. Like, there's the technology and the tools and all the people that are excited to make stuff. It's like, there's if you're somebody that's pursuing a career in writing or directing or producing or acting, that kind of stuff, there's really no reason you can't make your own content now.
I love it. All right, let's get in. Without further ado, let's talk the movie at hand, Faith-Based. comes out on Friday, October 9th. Is that going to be, is that theatrical or is that VOD or what is that?
Well, I'm going to say this. I am telling people, I recommend, it's going to be available anywhere you can rent or buy a movie. So VOD, iTunes, you know, any Amazon, all that stuff. I recommend, you know, watching it safely from your home. I think it's a fun movie. I think it's got a lot of heart and it'll bring some joy in this kind of weird, dark time we're in right now. But technically they are saying it will also be in theaters, but because of COVID, it is a week by week basis as to what theaters, how. So I'm pretty much of the mindset of like, it's available for you to watch at home. I recommend watching it at home.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Give us the log line, if you will, the premise.
Yeah. Yeah. Faith-Based is about these two guys, kind of myself and my real life best friend plays the other character who kind of they're struggling to figure out their purpose and their direction in life. And they're not having a lot of success. And they come to this realization that a lot of bad Christian movies still make a lot of money. And so they set out to make a Christian movie of their own called A Prayer in Space, which is about the first prayer ever to be prayed in space. And these guys don't really know how to make movies and they don't really consider themselves Christians. And so it's kind of a fish out of water, you know, are these guys going to be able to pull this off or not? But it's been an interesting journey because when this movie got announced a year ago, all of a sudden, all these websites like Fox News and Breitbart basically ran all these stories saying these guys are making this Christian bashing movie, even though we hadn't even shot the movie. So they clearly didn't really know what the movie was about. I'm the son of a pastor. The director of the movie goes to church every Sunday. It all of a sudden kind of put this weird spotlight on the movie from a perspective that we didn't quite expect.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I guess that was going to be my next question is, you know, when it's obviously you guys are, you know, making Funny or Die comedies and this thing is a comedy as well. I was going to ask, how do you walk that, you know, it's that Trey Parker, Matt Stone kind of a line they did with Book of Mormon or even in Orgasmo.
Sure. Yeah, man. Oh, man. Great reference.
So well, I think in Orgasmo, they knock on the door. He's a Mormon in that too.
Yeah.
But like, how do you sort of toe that line, I guess, is my question, because you don't want to alienate, you know, people of faith out there in the audience.
Sure.
Anytime you're trying to make a satire comedy, it's like you got to kind of toe a line a little bit.
No, it's definitely a gray area, and there will be people on both sides that won't like this movie. You know, it's rated R for language, strictly because we wanted the main characters to talk like real bachelors in their 30s would talk. So, you know, it's rated R for language. There will be people on kind of one extreme side that won't even watch the movie because of that, or won't like the movie because, you know, we curse. And then there's the other side that probably wants us to make a movie that's just a scathing, you know, mean-spirited take on belief. And that's also not what we wanted to make. We find the Christian film industry to be very interesting in the fact that so many people financially support these things somewhat blindly. And that's an interesting topic for us, but that's not the movie we necessarily wanted to make. We set out to make a movie that's about, you know, I think you see a lot of movies that are coming of age movies of people in their teens or 20s, and you see a lot of kind of midlife crisis movies of people kind of at a certain stage in life wondering, is this it? And there's this weird time in your 30s for some people, I would wager a lot of people, where if they haven't quite figured it out yet, or they haven't found what they find to be their purpose necessarily, and they look around them and all their friends are starting to get married and have kids or have success in their careers, they start to feel like they're the only ones left who haven't figured that out. And that's a weird headspace to be in. And so we kind of wanted to tell this story about finding purpose. And it's ultimately kind of also about friendship with the faith-based film industry as kind of a comedy backdrop. So, you know, people that are hoping this movie's some sort of scathing takedown of Christianity, I think will be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, like you kind of mentioned, it's about their friendship and, you know, what the lessons they learn along the way. And they're sort of their, I don't know if you want to call it quarter life crisis, figuring out what they're going through.
Sure.
What would you say sort of that journey is, you know, point A to point B, those characters in the beginning, they start out and they almost like the producers, like, oh, we're going to scheme the system. We're going to make a thing about a faith base to make money. And then by the end, you know, what's sort of after their arc is complete, where's their headspace by the end?
Yeah, I think that's the producers is a great example. The producers is a really close example to kind of what we were aiming for with this. And it's like my character in the movie has constantly tried to find success or to make his dad proud in ways that are, you know, probably wrong. Like he's always in pyramid schemes and he's just like a get rich quick short sort of guy. And I think he sees this initially making this movie in the Christian film industry as the same kind of thing. And I think what I hope happens is that kind of throughout the story, maybe he decides to really actually try to make this movie, even though it's the most ridiculous idea of a movie you've ever had. So I won't ruin the ending, but I think we've done a good job of making a pretty heartfelt comedy, and the cast is great. You know, you're probably like, I've never heard of Luke Barnett, but you know, we got really, really lucky. And when we started to make this movie, it's as independent as it gets, you know, it's credit card style, but all of a sudden, Jason Alexander from Seinfeld and Lance Reddick from The Wire and David Koechner from The Office and Margaret Cho, all these people kind of read the script and wanted to be a part of it. And so it's kind of turned into something more exciting than we initially expected.
Oh, absolutely. Talk about how, you know, I mean, you kind of started the interview talking about how you and your family would always rent things from Blockbuster or watch TV. And now, you know, I'm sure that included watching Seinfeld. And now all of a sudden you're a filmmaker for Jason Alexander. How cool of a treat was that? You know, the first time maybe you ever met him on set or something like that. And you're like, oh my God, there's Costanza.
My gosh, dude. I mean, that's my favorite character on my favorite comedy. And it was the most surreal working experience of my life. It was incredible, man. He's the nicest guy in the world. To make a long story short, once he said yes, my wife was 9 months pregnant, and he ended up having to basically switch his entire schedule around two different times because he didn't want it to be in my head while we were shooting that, you know, she would be going into labor. And he was the coolest guy, and he's hilarious in the movie. And it was a blast, man. We had an Excel sheet when we were casting the movie of our top choices, and he was right at the top. And I'll never forget one of our executive producers leaving a note that said, next to his name, that said, perfect, but impossible. And I still have a screen capture of that note that I'll probably never delete.
That's great. So you said your wife was pregnant at the time. Did he convince you to name your kid Seven?
Yeah, right. Jeez. That's hilarious.
So many good, God, there's so many good.
That's the best show,
man. My favorite show ever too, man. So,
yeah, incredible.
So that's just great. Who's remind our listeners who Jason Alexander plays.
Jason Alexander plays the head of a pyramid scheme, a weight loss tea pyramid scheme named Nikki Steele. And throughout the movie, my character kind of is in that pyramid and sees him as this sort of hero in a way that I essentially want to emulate. And so kind of throughout the movie, you know, he's in it as this as this kind of talking head to me. And then, you know, I think you hope as you're watching it that I'm finally going to meet my hero, and I'll just say that I do.
Nice. And then we'd be remiss if we don't also ask you about Margaret Cho. I mean, that's another comedy legend. She's, you know, toured DC a bunch with her stand-up shows. What role does she play in this? And similarly, how awestruck were you when you finally met her too?
Yeah, man, all those guys were, Margaret Cho was amazing. She was somebody who, when we offered her the role, her manager actually told us that she'd heard of the movie and was already interested. So that was very exciting. She plays the CEO of a fictional company called Christflix, which is basically the Christian Netflix. And she kind of sets Tanner and I up on our journey, like the rules of what we have to do to make a successful Christian movie. And she's hilarious. And anybody from the DC area is going to know Lance Reddick because he was one of the stars of The Wire, and he plays my dad in the movie. And he was also just somebody who, he was the first person to sign on, and he was a dream to work with. He's everything you see Lance in. He's in all the John Wick movies. He's the concierge, and he's always a very scary, intimidating presence. And so for him to kind of do a goofy comedy, I think was a lot of fun as well.
Awesome. Now, just a couple of the particulars really quick. You know, how long did it take you guys to shoot it? That sort of stuff.
Yeah, we shot the movie in 17 days. We basically shot the entire movie in May and June, and then had to push basically an entire week of shooting because of, like, when Jason Alexander said yes, he was doing theater. And so we had to wait for his one theater run to end, and then his other one started up 3 weeks later. So we had this window to shoot him in for him to do it. And yeah, man, it was as much of a passion project as it possibly gets. We started off wanting this, we were going to shoot this movie on phones for literally zero money. And it just kind of, we still shot it for almost zero money, but it kind of got bigger and bigger as just people were excited to be a part of it, man. There was an energy for it, which I've never really experienced, and I'm excited for it to be out in the world.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait for our listeners to see it as well. Anything else? What haven't I asked you that I should have asked you?
No, man. This has been great. The movie comes out, Faith-Based, comes out October 9th, basically anywhere you can buy or rent a movie. And the only other thing I'll plug is that if you're listening and Faith-Based doesn't sound like it's the movie for you, I would love and highly recommend, you know, getting on iTunes or Amazon and maybe renting another independent film that does sound more up your alley. Cause it's the truly independent film industry is very much dying. And the more we only spend money on kind of Marvel or spinoff stuff, which I love all those movies, but the more we only buy those movies, the less likely anyone will be to finance and make original stories. And so, you know, I'd love for you to check out Faith-Based. I hope we bring some positivity in this weird world right now, but if it doesn't sound like it's for you, consider supporting another independent film.
That's perfectly said and the perfect place to leave it. So, hey, congrats. You know, it's a really cool journey to hear, you know, someone from our own area here in PG County, you know, that actually had the guts to move out there, make it big. You know, for other people that growing up around here, you know, you grew up watching Dumb and Dumber. For other kids around here, they might be looking at you saying, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, dude, 100%, man. For, you know, I grew up in, like I said, in PG County, and it's like at a certain, it's possible, man. That's all I'm saying. It's like, if you really want it, it's possible.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Luke. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.